to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 131 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Oh, the MIS bonus show is finally here. So excited to be at MIS. Got Junker Motorsports soon to be in the house. PETM are airborne. They made their flight. Story about that later on. Hopefully they will be here before the show is done. So to break the fourth wall, I'm starting this at approximately 9:30 a.m. and have interviews scheduled through about the 2 o'clock-ish hour. The day is spaced out, but you guys won't notice that. It will be flawless for you guys. So before I wrap up with PETM, like I said, they had an early flight this morning. They're going to lift an Uber here, grab credentials, get over here. So hopefully they're going to be able to make an appearance on the show. Quick plug. If you have not checked out Tuesday's show, make sure to go and check that out with Jeff Striegel from MRN Radio, along with the usual Tuesday nonsense. Have to give a huge shout out to MIS for everything they do for the show, from scheduling Rick to come on a couple times throughout the year, hooking me up with this room to do this show, media credentials, and even helping me set up interviews like Alex Bowman and Christopher Bell during last week's bonus show. So big thanks to MIS. And speaking of bonus shows, normally guys get 4 shows a month, and you've guys gotten 4 shows in the past 2 weeks, which is awesome. My goal from here on out the rest of the season is to try to do at least 1 extra show a month, and I will take full blame for this being June, basically halfway through the regular season, and have not done a listener call-in show yet. So I will get something set up here for that in the next couple weeks. So my bad there. Don't forget, Lap Traffic Podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Network. Big Heads Media has got you covered from sports to entertainment. So go check out bigheadsmedia.com. All right. Drum roll, please. Are you ready for the big lineup that I've got scheduled for you guys tonight? Coming up today, full lineup. I'm really excited about this one. Later on today, Essex Racing, Landon Castle, and Chief Pittman from Napoleon Township are going to be on the show. Very excited for those guys to tell the story about how Essex Racing helped a local police department here in Michigan. I got Matt Tift will be making his return to the show, along with last week's 1 and 2 finishers at the Pocono Xfinity race, Tyler Riddick, Cole Custer, and a late ad with Justin Haley as well. And who knows who else might pop in. I got some social media and might run through fantasy and all that good stuff. So let's kick off this bonus show right. Yeah, it's been this way since the beginning. It is time to introduce the guy who will steal the show early on, Lap Traffic Nation, making his 10th appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast, the wonderful Mr. Orange Cone. Sir, good morning.
What's happening there, B-Crowd?
How are you?
I'm great. It's good to be back in the Irish Hills.
Yes, it's great to have you back here in the Irish Hills.
To you read off your sheet there. Yeah. I would be much more impressed if that was all just from memory.
Yeah, I'd like to have that kind of time, but unfortunately, the wife doesn't like the amount of time I take up as it is. So, yeah, we dial that one in, and I didn't want to, it's a bonus show. I didn't want to mess that up.
She broke up with old Gary for you.
That's a true story. She did.
she wants your time now.
Yes, she does want my time. That she does. Sir, let's talk a little ARCA. First 6 races of the year won by a Toyota. Last 2 won by Ford and Ty Majeski. Talk a little bit about the early racing series in the 2019 ARCA Menards.
Well, Ty Majeski going for 3 in a row here today.
Yes.
I mean, by the time people listen to this, we'll be knowing, we probably will know whether or not he's made that happen or not. But, man, he came in at Talladega with a 6-race deal, and he's about halfway through it. And he's really done a fantastic job with Chad Bryant Racing, coming off and winning Charlotte and Pocono. And, you know, Charlotte, you know, he was a little more of a dominant force at Pocono. I think he kind of stole one. So
okay,
but you know,
there's no asterisks in the book,
right? So it'll be interesting to see how he does here. Venerini Motorsports, he really dominated the opening, you know, quarter of the season, and they're going to be strong today too. So you know, you're going to have Michael Self and Christian Eckes and Myatt Snyder are all going to be in the mix, and then you're going to throw in Ty Majeski, and you could probably put Tanner Gray in that mix as well. There's probably a good 8 or 10 cars that are going to be up there fighting for this one today.
A lot of talent in the series. Not that there hasn't been talent before, but you're hearing a lot more names in the ARCA series than what you normally hear.
Right. So, you know, people will notice that, you know, the field might not be as deep as it once was. There's 18 cars here today versus the 30 cars we had here a couple of years ago. And, you know, that's a concern. Don't get us wrong. You know, we would like to have very full fields, and that's something we're working very hard on remedying for the future. You know, but the cars that are here are all good cars, you know, so we're going to have, like I said, 8 or 10 drivers that are capable of going up and running for the win here. You know, years past at some of these Michigan races, I can remember coming here and there were two good cars, you know, so I personally would rather have the 8 or 10 really good cars than the two.
Sure.
But, you know, we really would like to have the 8 or 10 good cars with a
plus another
field.
10 or 15.
So we're working on that, and hopefully you'll see some changes in that direction going forward, you know, 2020 and beyond. But, you know, it's a concern. We're working on it. And, you know, there's a lot going on in ARCA world right now, you know, trying to get the you know, the K&N Pro Series situation worked out. We're going to
Will that help from a field perspective?
Certainly will on the short tracks.
Okay.
Certainly will on the short tracks, and we hope that some of those teams will make the investment and come around with us on the speedways too.
So. And that's when will we start to see that? When is that official?
Well, it's already official.
Okay.
We do know that, you know, there will be 10 races next year that the K&N Pro Series teams will be eligible to come and compete in, and we just don't know where they're going to be, when they're going to be. You know, scheduling is at this level of racing, the schedule is really hard to put together a year in advance like they do with Cup and
sure.
Xfinity and trucks. You know, we have to we deal with some local racetracks, and we deal with big racetracks like Michigan International Speedway as well. So, you know, it's just a matter of finding a way to get all of those moving pieces into place and deal with the television partners. I think you're going to see some headway on that, you know, midsummer to late summer, and we'll start talking about where we're going to be racing and, you know, what the format will be in those types of things.
Is there any talk that you've heard, or that, you know, maybe even something that ARC is working on as far as, you know, a streaming network or anything like that, in terms of being able to make sure people can watch it more to get a little bit more interest towards
it? That's a great question. It's probably over my pay grade. you know, obviously NASCAR has Fans Choice TV.
Yep.
You know, we're now a NASCAR property. Whether or not that means we are now a part of the Fans Choice TV platform going forward, I don't know. I know as a race fan, that would be cool to see.
Right.
But, you know,
I've talked about it at length throughout probably 4 or 5 times this year. Just the model to follow, in my opinion, is the WWE Network. $10 a month, you get all, you know, so they've got pay-per-views and extra content. So the extra content and the $10 a month would make sure you could watch every practice if you want across right. every series. You know where you could go and get it. No hunting down. Oh, I don't have FS2 or whatever the case may be.
Right.
So.
Well, I don't think that's just a WWE thing. I think that's just how it's going to be with everything going into the future. The way that the audience has been fragmented and the way technology has grown, you know, I don't know how long any sport, maybe other than the NFL at this point, is going to be able to maintain that type of
network deal,
network kinda. Presence that they have now with practice qualifying and all of those
sure.
types of things.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, I think somewhere down the road that, you know, there will be a streaming service that includes, you know, you can buy your NASCAR subscription and watch
sure.
all of the NASCAR you want on your computer, on your phone, stream it to your TV. You know, I think IndyCar already kind of does that with NBCSN, where they have all of their practices and qualifying and races all streamed on NBCSN's app. So, you know, those things, the technology is definitely out there. I think it's just getting the infrastructure in place to make that happen and getting the agreements in place to make it all happen too.
So, sure.
You know, I really just don't know what we've got going on. So.
Well, Cone, you guys got a nice little Midwest trip here. MIS, Gateway, Madison, Chicago. Talk a little bit about.
So I'm really
races.
Happy about this because, you know, I got that crazy girl who lives over in Chicago. And I'm going to be passing through Illinois quite a bit the next few weeks. So personally, I'm very happy about that. But yeah, it's great to be. This is where ARCA is based. You know, we're based in Toledo, which is 45 minutes from here. You know, we raced at Toledo Speedway about 3 weeks ago. To be back here so quickly, and then to spend the next, you know, month or so here in the Midwest it's really is fun. You know, I just as a historic, you know, fan of the sport, I really like having ARCA here in the Midwest. I mean, I know why we go to places like Daytona and Talladega and Charlotte and Pocono, and they're great venues and they're great people and they're great race fans. But, you know, growing up as a kid and watching these races at places like Toledo Speedway and Flat Rock Speedway and all of the other short tracks that dotted, you know, Indiana, Michigan, and Indiana, I love having ARCA here in the Midwest. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to this next little stretch here because, you know, well, you know, the racetracks we're going to are really cool. Gateway's a cool joint. Madison's a cool joint. But, you know, I'm also looking forward to hanging out with that crazy Italian lady,
Absolutely. Hey, so will you be in Chicago just Thursday for the ARCA race, or are you going to be there all weekend?
Well, I'll be in Chicago all weekend.
All right, fair enough.
I'm not sure how much time I'm going to spend at the racetrack.
All right, because I'm getting in Thursday night. So,
we'll have to make sure that we'll find a way to hang out with you guys for at least a night somewhere. I don't know that it'll be at the racetrack, but it'll be somewhere.
Fair enough. Cone, I know Michigan holds a special place in your heart with you, your family.
Right.
Remind everyone again just about your history here at this racetrack.
Well, I've been coming here since I was a kid. 1977, I think, was probably the first time I came here. I got to go to Victory Lane with Diegard Racing and Bobby Allison back in 1982. I've got pictures of me being too shy to go and say hi to Bobby, you know, back then. Imagine that, right?
Right.
You know, and I had the pleasure and the privilege of being the track PA announcer here the past, I want to say 6 or 7 years, you know, before transitioning into this new role. So it has been a very special place for me over the years. I still remember the first time I came here back in 1999, you know, working with a race team and driving through the tunnel and being, okay, so you actually get to work here now.
Right,
so
right.
It was really cool.
Right.
It was really cool. And to come back even today, you know, the role here obviously is a little bit different than it has been the last several years. But just to be back and, yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's great to be here. It's a great racetrack. It's the people here are great, as you know.
And, yeah.
You know, I'm looking forward to a great race today. It's going to be a good one.
That's awesome, man. Can't wait to watch you guys. Will you be out on pit road during the race and all that stuff?
The actual cone. This is the only time the cone gets to be used is in ARCA races anymore. Right? So hopefully someone will blast that cone into the infield and I can get a little love out of it.
Well, I know Rusty Sherwin, Brad, I know we're all planning on coming over to watch.
Yeah, so are the Yunkers bringing Chloe with them?
Chloe is here.
All right, yes, fantastic. Yes. I don't care about Brad.
Right? Right. Cone, where can everyone follow you on social media as if they don't already?
But. At the Orange Cone, that's where you go. I'm very well behaved these days.
Yes, yeah. Right. Well, you got that Italian lady keeping it dialed in for you.
I'm her editor now. Yes. I've actually, not only do I have to edit myself, I've got to edit her too. So, right.
All right, Lap Traffic Nation, big thanks to the Orange Cone for making an unprecedented 10th appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast and to help kick things off on this MIS bonus show. Cone, thank you as always, sir. It's always a pleasure.
It is a pleasure. When's the Moonlight Cruise tonight, Lance?
Dusk. Yes.
Dusk.
All right, man. I'm sure we'll see you throughout the weekend.
You got it, man. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
Hey, remind all of those other drivers.
Yes.
Remind them who was first.
Who was first? Yeah. Hey, it's on the front door, man.
I changed it. Right. Headliner.
All right, man. We'll talk to you later. Yep. We'll see you. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, how cool was that? The Orange Cone for his 10th appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. So, funny story, as I was coming in this morning and getting everything set up, dropped the equipment off in the little radio room that we have here and went to go grab a bottle of water. And I'm walking through the press room, which was a ghost town at 8:30 this morning, and I see DW. And I walk past DW, and I'm like, hey, DW. And he goes, hey, where's the MRN room? And I'm like, well, DW, I just happen to know where that is because it is kitty corner to the room I'm recording in. And so I took DW on a tour through the MIS Media Center and took him to the MRN radio room, which was pretty cool. Did not stop in the lab traffic radio room, but went right into the MRN radio room. So funny story there. All right, Lab Traffic Nation. Like I said, it's a stack show. Coming up next is Tyler Reddick, who finished second to Cole Custer at Pocono last weekend. And right after Tyler Reddick is Mr. Cole Custer, who finished first last weekend at Pocono in the Xfinity race. So I'm very excited to get these two guys back on. Not together, individuals. I'm sure the together interview would have been pretty hilarious, though. Get both of these guys to talk about the finish to Pocono at the same time. Yeah, so I'm going to hit the stop button. You're not going to notice any difference, but I'll be back. Lapped Traffic Nation, making his fifth appearance on the Lapped Traffic Podcast. He's the driver of the number two RCR KC Motor Group in the Xfinity Series. He is your current Xfinity Series champion and current points leader. Welcome back, Tyler Reddick. What's up, man?
Oh, not much. Just rolled into Michigan this morning. 4:30, the alarm clock went off, so it's already been, I would say it's still early on in our day, 6 hours in, but, you know. Most people have to get up about 4:30 to go to work every day, so you know I'm not complaining too much.
You get to go drive a race car
in a little while, so
but that is a long day, man. That it's a grueling schedule, all that. I mean, it takes a tear, and it's a long season.
It is, you know, from here. I think we have maybe one off weekend. I think actually after Iowa next Sunday, so last off weekend from the middle of June till. You know, we go back to Charlotte at the end of September.
Since September, yeah.
Beginning of October. So, not a lot of free time. It's real easy. As I went through last year, when you have a lull, the year drags on pretty well. So, you just got to get through that stretch the best that you can.
Yeah. I could only imagine that type of a schedule. All right, man. Let's talk Pocono.
Post race Pocono.
Right. An emotional day. You know, you guys started at the back, worked your way up to the front. Custer had a 10-second lead. Yellow comes out.
I know.
I'm so sorry. But, can you walk us through those last few laps in that restart there a little bit? Not that you want to.
I mean, every lap but the last two were fantastic. There's a lot of good things that happened there. We had a caution come out. I really needed a caution to get back into the top five or even have a shot at winning that race. We just fell behind, especially with our penalty that, unfortunately, that we got just a one-off, just random, almost unrepeatable thing happened. I wouldn't even really call it a mistake. It's just one of those crazy racing deals.
Sure.
But we had that caution come out. We were able to come get left side tires, and from there, he's like, well, if you want to go get it, just pass 10 cars and you have your victory.
Right.
Or whatever it was, and, we got to that position, and I just, unfortunately made a mistake the last two laps, pretty much every moment that I could from corner entry to hitting the wall to everyone saw it, so it was pretty bad.
How was your car? Everyone talks about some drivers want turn one dialed in, some want turn two, some want turn three. What's your specific, what would you rather give up to make sure that you've got at a track like Pocono?
I feel like turn three was the most important one, and that's the one I felt the best all weekend long. It was a one corner, though, where we would fight it a little bit in the beginning of a run, but it would really really progress the right direction and be well for us towards the end of the run. And the bulk of it would be a lot better than people there, and it'd really set up our passes going into turn one, getting people on people's left rear quarter panels and pretty much putting them in a spot where they're uncomfortable getting into the corner. So we'd make good passes on the majority of the drivers that we were racing against there, but as the race dragged on, we just didn't realize how tight the track was going to become from start to finish, and it never really leveled off. It just continued to get tighter and tighter. So, we just went the wrong way on our first adjustment. I mean, it's a shame. We should have left the car the way it was because it was so fast in that first stage. But, I was thinking, we were really good, and I could just guard myself a little bit in case I get around somebody that's going to race me real hard to, just have a little bit more stability in traffic. And as soon as we tightened it up, it just kept going, and we kept trying to go back. But by the time we got back down pit road, the end of stage two, if you will, to work on it, the track had already changed so much that when we finally started making adjustments again, it was almost a little too late.
Gotcha. So I know you've been asked a bunch of times about the move from JR or to RCR. And so I'm going to try to switch it up a little bit in that last year you won the opener and the closer with a bunch of top tens in the middle. And here we are through 12 races in 2019, two wins already, a bunch of top tens. You've made it look easy. Has the transition been as easy as you've made it look?
You know, the transition for me as a driver has been pretty smooth. All the guys at the shop got me really pumped up right away. My crew chief and my team, all the guys that stay back at the shop from day one, me walking in the door there, I've never questioned how hard they are working. So that makes my transition look easy. You know, we had some small growing pains, nothing crazy, but everything that you would normally go through when you switch teams and have a new group of guys you're working with. But we were able to work through those before our first race.
Right.
And from there, we've been pretty good. We've had, you know, two runs outside the top five. The first one's Daytona, which we all know how that race went. It was very difficult to gain back track position at times. And then, you know, Las Vegas battling for a win. So, you know, to say that those are two worst finishes, and it's been a pretty good year so far.
I'd say so. So let's talk a little bit more about RCR. No secret, they've struggled a little bit from the Cup side. I look at kind of what they're doing in the Xfinity Series as kind of like a baseball farm system. I think they're trying to build it and grow it. And you seem to be taking the charge pretty well. Describe the whole RCR mindset as far as trying to reinsert itself back into, you know, the household name that's kind of faded a little bit over the last few years.
I'd say, you know, they definitely aren't as happy as they'd want to be. It's no secret. They're not as happy as they'd like to be, and they're not where they want to be on the Cup side. But that's got them really fired up to work hard. And, you know, when we can hop in and, you know, have a little bit different mindset going into a race and the other two cars like a Kansas and make something work really good, as much as you would think that would be a negative for the other two cars, I think it was a positive, and it's a shot in the arm, if you will, you know, like, okay, we can do this if we find it. And the speed's been there. I think they've just had some unfortunate luck the last couple weeks, you know. Just things haven't lined up the way they've needed to, especially for Austin. The last 2 weeks have not been kind to him. So I think it's crazy in the Cup Series. You're one bad break away from losing a top 15 run and end up running 30th.
Sure.
Where it feels like in the Xfinity Series right now, you know, it's really easy to bounce back from an issue that takes you out of the top five. You can get back there pretty easily if you have a really good car and a good group of guys like I've been fortunate to have this year. So they're definitely working really hard. They're trying everything they can. I see it every single day I'm in the shop. The Cup guys are working really, really hard. You know, we're working hard on our own, but they're kind of in a panic all the
sure,
time,
right.
Trying to just get as much work as they can in every single week. And it stresses me out watching it,
right,
but I know that they're working hard, and they're going to find it eventually, believe
yeah.
me. With everything they're throwing at it, it's out there, and they're going to go find it soon.
Awesome. All right, so I'm gonna get emotional for a second here. What I love about doing this podcast, this is your fifth time on the show. Cole's going to be on in a little bit. It's his sixth time on the show. I can't thank you guys enough for taking the time to come on the show. You're in your third year in the Xfinity Series. This is the third year of the podcast. So on two different levels, it's been fun to kind of grow because you've come on quite a few times, and I can't thank you guys enough for taking the time to recognize a fan-based podcast. So I thank you very much for that.
Absolutely. It's a blast to come on and get to talk to you, and, you know, it's racing. It's what we love. So anytime I get to come on a podcast, you know, with you or anybody else, it's always fun to talk about racing or, you know, stuff outside of it. It's what we love to do. So it's, you know, it's what we love to talk about.
Awesome. All right. So let's close this thing out. We're here at MIS. You've got two starts here in the Xfinity Series with a 13th and a 7th place finish. What are you most excited about? And I know you haven't gotten in the car yet this weekend, but I'm sure you got a hunch about the car. So talk a little bit about this weekend here.
You know, I forget that I ran 7th here. I think that would have been last year, but our 7th place race was a rough race. You know, the race we ran 13th actually was the day I think we should have ran top 5 on my first time here. But coming in, you know, my memory has forgotten, you know, the highlights of how well I've ran at times here, and I just remember the bad. That's part of my nature. I'm always really never super positively critiquing myself. It's always very negative, but it keeps me really hungry and wanting more every time I come back. But, you know, going into Charlotte, I was uncertain what we were going to have. I knew they were working hard on our stuff, and we were good at Charlotte. And Pocono is concerned going in. Just in myself, not the team, I should clarify. It's just, am I going to do what I need to do? Am
right.
I just going to screw up and rack out of nowhere? And we've been so good the last 2 weeks at places that I've had issues with at the past, or just inconsistency and not putting together a complete race. And we've gone in there with this group, and it's been a completely different race than I've had in the past there. So Pretty much the last 2 weeks have been massive for my confidence, whether my team even realizes it or not. Even with giving a race away at Pocono, we've just been so much better everywhere we've gone the last couple of weeks that I think we could go anywhere right now. We maybe even road course, and we're gonna fire off and be where we need to be. Now, putting a whole race together, I don't know, but we're just operating with that much confidence going into every single weekend. And, you know, that's a lot of credit to my guys for getting me pumped up and just, you know, having me really close where we need to be every time we unload off the trailer.
That's awesome. All right, man, tell everyone where they can follow you at on social media.
It's pretty simple. You can follow me on name, you know, Tyler Reddick, pretty much on all channels. I don't think I have anything crazy.
No underscores or anything like that?
Well, I think there is, but you can search can it. And it. You know,
just
you
look just, for the blue check, right?
You just search for the name and you find it, and the blue check helps narrow it down too. Yeah, it's pretty simple. No crazy like Scuba Steve, like number two, username
right.
deal. So, yeah.
Awesome. All right, Lab Traffic Nation, big thanks to Tyler Riddick, driver the number two with RCR. Tyler, thanks so much. Good luck tomorrow at MIS.
Thank you.
Lap Traffic Nation, how cool was that? Tyler Riddick, fifth time on the show. So awesome. So appreciative of these guys taking the time out. Man, I hope that it's Tyler Riddick and Cole Custer battling it out for it here tomorrow. I'm very excited about that. And coming right up now, last week's winner at Pocono, Mr. Cole Custer is going to be joining. Lap Traffic Nation, making his sixth appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He is the driver with the 00 with Stuart Haas Racing in the Xfinity Series, and he is the winner of last week's Pocono Green 250. Welcome back, Cole Custer. Cole, what's going on, man?
Not too much. Thanks for having me on.
You are more than welcome anytime, sir. Are you looking good? A little color going on?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a good summer so far, I guess.
All right. Yeah. Cole, let's talk Pocono. Let's kick it off with that. You put it on the pole, brought it home first, cruising to a stage one win, caught up a little bit during stage two. And then worked out to a 10-second lead. 37 drivers were praying for a yellow, and they got it. Walk us through, you know, when you heard in the headset, yellow out. You know, I mean, just walk us through what was going on there.
Yeah, I mean, I knew I wanted to go to the green to the end. That would be really nice. But at this point, you know, I've been doing it long enough. You kind of expect there to be a caution just
because
you don't want to get your hopes up, I guess. So, I mean, I just, you know, tried to refocus and know what I had to do on the restart. And then from there, just tried to execute it. But it all worked out. And I about gave it away to Tyler, but it worked out then.
That was one of the more exciting finishes I think we've had this year in the Xfinity Series. From a fan perspective, obviously that's the kind of finish everybody would like to have every weekend. Like you see, you know, you would have liked to just put that baby on cruise control and take it home. But, man, it was a great product out there last weekend. And, hopefully we get that here this weekend as well. All right. A lot of different strategies last week at Pocono from when I think what switched that up just from me watching was the fact that we got so many cautions early in stage one, you know, and not knowing what was going to happen. That started the strategy game and the chess match right off. How did that impact your day? Did you guys adjust strategy during the race at all, or did you guys stick to the game plan?
Man, so much happens, it's hard for me to recall.
Right.
I think, you know, what's interesting about Pocono is that you can pit, you know, when it's still green out and not go a lap down. So you can short pit the stage and then come out with the lead right after if you short pit it. So it's we didn't do that. We went for the stage points every single time, and that put us behind in the second stage a little bit. But you know, that's one of the things that, you know, you got to choose the stage points, or you got to choose the, you know, the track position for the later in the race.
Right.
So, you know, it all worked out. We had a really good car, so we could kind of do whatever we wanted, I felt like. So, you know, it was just a matter of getting back up to the front.
Talk about 2018 in the Cup was the big three. But right now, I think we have the big three in the Xfinity Series with you, Christopher Bell, Tyler Reddick. It's I think one of the more fun regular seasons in the Xfinity Series to watch. You know, the Xfinity Series regulars are getting wins, which I think helps from a fan perspective. Do you feel that way? Is it the big three with you guys right now?
I think at this point, yeah. I mean, I think it's, you know, the three of us have been really fighting for each other for wins in the start of the year here. So it's, I mean, I think some other guys are really close. I think the 7's getting better, and the 98's getting, he's right there. So I think there's going to be more guys to mix in as the year goes on. But I think right now, I think me, Reddick, and Bell are definitely kind of the ones to kind of compete for wins at this point. But I mean, anything can change any given
right,
week. So
yeah,
I mean, you can't get cocky, or you can't let your guard down. You got to stay on the gas.
So do you have a track coming up that you've got circled to maybe get a little retribution from last year, that maybe felt you gave one away, car wasn't right, and you want to go back there and maybe put a little stamp on that one?
Honestly, I think two races coming up are Iowa and Chicago. Iowa, we were really fast at last year and led a lot of laps but didn't get the win. And then at Chicago, we've always been fast there, and I think that's a really cool track to get a win at. It's so wore out. You get to slip and slide around, so I think that would be a huge one. That's one of my favorite tracks, so I'd love to win there.
Awesome. So this is going to sound a little bit repetitive for the listeners because I just said it a few minutes ago, but I've got to say it to you. So Tyler was on a little bit ago for his fifth appearance. You're on for your sixth appearance. I personally cannot thank you guys enough, the Xfinity Series, for recognizing a fan-based podcast. It's so awesome to be able to come out here to do this, or whether you guys call into the show on a Tuesday night. You know, it's your third year in the Xfinity Series. It's my third year with the podcast. So it's been fun to kind of grow a little bit. I know you've grown as a driver, and this show has really kind of taken a life of its own. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you very much for always being willing to come on the show. It really means a lot.
I always look forward to it. I mean, you guys do a great job with it, and I mean,
it's
always fun.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So let's close this out. We're here at MIS. You've got two starts in the Xfinity Series with a 10th and a third place finish. I know you really haven't gotten any track time yet here, but what are you most excited about this weekend here at MIS?
Oh, well, Michigan's never been my best track, to be honest. So I think I've tried to look at a lot of different stuff coming to this weekend, like videos and stuff like that, to try and make myself better and have a better understanding of the track. So, I mean, I think it's a lot about just on throttle time, how much throttle you can carry. It's so much grip and everything. So if we can do that, try and get me to carry some more throttle, and then get our car handling good for traffic, it's going to be huge, because dirty air is pretty bad here. So it's just a matter of doing all the little things right also.
The only time you want to hear lap traffic is on this show, not out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Colt, tell everyone where they can follow you at on social media.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter and Instagram. I think my Twitter is just Cole Custer, and my Instagram is ColeCuster00. So if you want to give me a follow, that'd be great.
Awesome. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, big thanks to Cole Custer, driver of the 00 with Stewart Hot Racing. Cole, thanks so much for coming on, and good luck tomorrow at MIS.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. Lap Traffic Nation, this is setting up. It's already been an awesome bonus show here at MIS. Three interviews in: the Orange Cone, Tyler Reddick, and Cole Custer. So cool. So awesome. Man, this is so much fun. I live for this weekend and in August. This is my Christmas. It is so much fun. The PETM podcast is en route to the track. I think they are going to make it before the end of the show. So that's going to be a lot of fun. They will definitely be on a little bit later. Still coming up on the show, Matt Tift is going to be next. Justin Haley a little bit later. And then an awesome interview with Essex Racing, Landon Castle, and Police Chief Pittman. I will let them tell you how they are all connected and why I think this is going to be such an awesome interview with those guys a little bit later on. So stay tuned here. Matt Tift is coming right up on the Lap Traffic Podcast. Lap Traffic Nation, making his fourth appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He is a driver of the number 36 Surface Sunscreen Ford with Front Row Motorsports. Welcome back, Matt Tift. Man, how's it going?
Good, but I hear you maybe lost a bet. Is that right?
I did lose a bet. Hold on. All right. Hold on. Stay tuned, Lap Traffic. Here we go.
So for a little background here, I'm from Ohio, so I do remember that we had a little thing going on of that he had to wear an Ohio State shirt, and there it is. It's beautiful. I think he has to wear it for the whole weekend.
You know, something tells me you talked to somebody here that might have dropped that in that for you there.
Yeah, but I agree. That's the thing.
I mean, it stings a touch. Not so much having to wear it, just flashing back to how bad we got our asses handed to us
for like
that
the last 11 or 12 games. Is that right?
Oh, wow, that too. Woo! Woo! Taking a pounding here, Lap Traffic Nation.
Jim Harbaugh is going to save this whole thing.
Nope.
Oh, wow. Right, you want to know what bugs me about Jim Harbaugh? Well, we'll talk football in a minute here. What bugs me about Jim Harbaugh is, you know, he was billed as the quarterback guy, right?
Yeah.
He has yet to develop his own quarterback. Like, you're coming into year five. You don't have your own quarterback yet. Like, for me, that's a problem. Like,
yeah.
That's what you were brought here to do, man. Like, come on.
I agree. Yeah, it's crazy.
But, hey, I am a man of my word. So here I am an Ohio State Buckeye shirt to do this interview. All in good fun. I'm glad that you ran into Brad here to set that up there. all right, let's talk a little racing. Matt, you've raced a lot of NASCAR since 2013. Just 6 years, you've gone from K&N, ARCA, Truck, Xfinity, over to Cup now. What was the hardest ride to adjust and get used to?
Between the different series?
Yeah.
Honestly, the Truck Series.
Yeah.
The Truck Series was the hardest because of coming from late models and ARCA cars and K&N stuff with the big the aero sensitivity you had over there. And it's actually very similar to what we have now in our Cup cars with this new package. So that was definitely the hardest to adjust to because I didn't understand how to use the momentum or how to get through the air. So I struggled a bit in the Truck Series, whereas when I got back into Xfinity, I was like, oh, okay, things make sense again.
Sure.
But that was definitely the hardest part was trying to learn those trucks. Just such a different body and how that thing went through the air was so different.
Talk about the transition from RCR Xfinity team over to Cup. You know, maybe the casual fan might just look and see it's a stock car and shouldn't be a transition there, but there obviously is a transition. Can you talk about the difference specifically between a Xfinity ride over to a Cup ride?
Yeah, you know, in a typical fashion, I think you'd have, you know, a lot more people you have to work with and a lot more involvement there. But honestly, because of our size over at Front Row, it's kind of been a similar number of employees that you would have on a big team's Xfinity team, if that makes sense. So we'd run our stuff very efficiently over Front Row. We have, you know, our competition guys in place, but then really it's up to the crew chiefs and our, you know, lead engineers to make the calls for the race weekend. We don't have a big team of guys sitting back at the shop making calls like other big teams do.
Sure.
So that's been the biggest thing in there is that it's not entirely different for the processes for me throughout the week than it was in Xfinity. But we certainly, you know, compared to the other teams, they have much bigger staffs. But ultimately where our sport is going, I think we're in a great place for if there's a shrinkage there, we're actually going to be in a great place for moving forward because I think we have a great model.
Awesome. Yeah, you can already do it at that,
exactly.
At that level.
Yeah.
Yep. So unlike, you know, if we talk stick and ball sports like we were a minute ago, when a new coach comes in, you know, team can get some practice time and things of that nature. Not really that opportunity in an off season and going from not just a different team but a different series. Talk a little bit about, you know, the struggles of, you know, getting to learn a new crew chief, his way of communicating and vice versa, and making sure you guys get dialed in.
Well, we not only had that, but we had the entire team was brand new. This 36 team was assembled less than 30 days before the Daytona 500.
That's
so
crazy.
The hard part in there, honestly, is that we got going so late. We had a brand new shop, so we had it. You know, new fab shop employees. We had new shop employees. We had every single person was brand new on the 36 team. So everybody's trying to figure out how to work together. And the problem you have there is that, you know, you don't know what everybody's full capabilities are because you're just trying to piece together a team. So, you know, we've had a few changes throughout the year to try to improve personnel there. But I think now we're getting to a point where we're starting to get in more of a rhythm. Our last month really has been a lot better on speed and without our transmission failure in Pocono, we're probably looking at, you know, two top 20s in a row there. So that's what we need to get back to. But it's certainly hard no matter what for a new driver, a new crew chief to get together. But I feel like we're getting to some points now to where we're starting to get in a bit of a rhythm.
Sure.
And building up that notebook.
Awesome. So Michigan, home of the Motor City, always a stress put on the manufacturers when you come to MIS. Talk about the, you know, was there a little extra nudge in everybody at the shop getting the car ready for this weekend? Talk about what gets thrown around at the shop around MIS.
Yeah, well, I actually just got back from last night going to the Henry Ford Estate. So that was really, really neat. So we got to go with all the Ford racing drivers, and Edsel Ford, you know, took us out there and got to show us the entire place, kind of behind the scenes there, that, since it's not open to the public yet. So that was really neat. I think they said that Ford has won, between Ford and Mercury, has won 49 of the 99 races here that have been at MIS.
They've done all right here.
Yeah,
yes.
They've done okay. So we're hoping that, you know, if we can't do it, we're hoping a Blue Oval gets into victory lane here this weekend. But, you know, the biggest thing for this weekend's been, it's a brand new package, you know, this year. And we, from the Kansas race that we saw, another big, smooth, wide, sweeping racetrack, this is going to be, I think, one of the most exciting races on the schedule.
So it's funny you say that, and it's funny you mention Kansas, because on the my usual Tuesday show, I had Jeff Striegel from MRN call in, and Michigan guy, and we were talking about the package and Michigan, and Kansas was exactly what he brought up too, and Kansas was potentially one of the best cup races we've had this year, 2019. Yep. So it'd be pretty cool if Michigan's able to replicate that. The speed's going to be there, you know. So it's just a matter of you know, tire fall off and all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, I don't even think it's that. I think what it is here is the question of last year in the Xfinity race, we had 100 and some less horsepower when we ran a similar package, but you couldn't really move past that second lane. You couldn't really get to the third lane because there wasn't enough power. We have 100, 150 more horsepower in these cars this year. I'm hoping we can use that third and fourth lane, because it just hasn't really come in these last few years since they've repaved this racetrack. So if we can get it to where there's a third and fourth lane, fans are in for a heck of
awesome.
A show.
That'd be awesome. I know. I'm excited.
It'd be about like a super speedway at that point.
So you've been to MIS twice in the Xfinity, once ARCA. What are you most looking forward to about getting behind the wheel with that extra 150? Everyone says turn one is close your eyes and hold on tight kind of thing.
Yeah, that's the thing this year. I don't think you have that feeling anymore. But at the same time, you're going to have that when you're five wide going into one. So it's just a different beast in there. But honestly, I'm looking forward to finally, you know, knock on table here, having a good run. This has not been a friendly place to me in the past. So trying to turn that around, not a bad place, just not a great place for us. So trying to turn that around some.
Well, it's I had Cole Custer in here a little bit ago, who used to run with in the Xfinity series. Yep. And he said the same thing. This place, you know, I think a lot of people maybe think, oh, it's 2 mile, hold it wide open, how hard could it be? But this place is a struggle for a lot of teams, a lot of drivers. It's not your mile and a half, and it's, like you said, it's not a super speedway. We may run like a super speedway, but it's a unique creature out there.
It certainly is, and the comparisons used to be made between here and California. Well, yep. Or Auto Club, and you can't make those comparisons really anymore, because this place is still pretty glass smooth, except for the one bump or two and three or and four. But California is so bumpy and so you know, lacking grip. You don't have that here at MIS. You have a lot of grip, so it's definitely tough, because for the teams, you know, you have this question always of, do you want more downforce or do you want less drag to make the cars go faster? And that's really at a premium question of today.
Sure.
We're going to find out what works in practice and happy hour here.
Awesome. Matt, tell everyone where they can follow you at on social media.
That's at @Matt_Tift, TIFFT. There's two F's in there.
Awesome. Left Traffic Nation, big thanks to Matt Tift, driver, the number 36 with Front Row Motorsports. I'm going to go take this shirt off, and good luck this weekend.
No, you're not. When your stupid team wins again, you can take that shirt off.
Fair enough. I'll take my medicine. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
Well, Lap Traffic Nation, there you have it, Mr. Matt Tift. That was a lot of fun. And yes, I am still in the Ohio State shirt, because Brad Yunker walked into the room and didn't let me take it off yet. So, but this will get tucked away, and, you know, we'll keep it, because odds are I'll probably lose the same bet again in November. So I'll have to bring it back out at some point in time. So there's that. All right, I am going to hit a little social media. Everyone, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Listen to the show on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, Blueberry, Acast, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Don't forget about the giveaway. I think it's down to under 40 followers to go, and I'm giving away the 124 diecast signed by Richard Childress. T-shirt, got some other goodies I will throw in there. I really hope to collect those 40 followers this weekend here at MIS. Let's see. Don't forget to be on the lookout, debut two new artwork designs that are going to be making their way to some Lap Traffic t-shirts very soon. Of course, I'll give some away. Cannot wait to get those things out. I've got stickers and koozies here at MIS. I've mailed a bunch out this weekend. If you want one, make sure to go to the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Fill out the contact page, and I will send one out to you. Don't forget to go check out the Support Autism link on the website. Support an awesome 501c3 autism charity here in Metro Detroit. Help out Yonker Motorsports. All in a great cause. And of course, go check out Big Heads Media at Big Heads Media and go check out bigheadsmedia.com where you can find awesome, awesome podcasts from sports to entertainment. And yours truly, the Lap Traffic Podcast, is there. All right, business is done. Don't forget to send in your lucky dog and lap down picks from Michigan. Call the hotline 248-965-9538. I want some good responses this week since I am here. We'll hit fantasy in a little bit. I think PETM is on their way. They are almost here. I'm going to hit the stop button, grab a quick bite, and Justin Haley is up next on this MIS bonus show. Lap Traffic Nation making his second appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He's the driver of the number 11 Leaf Filter Gutter Protection Chevrolet with Calling Racing. Welcome back, Justin Haley. What's going on, man?
Not much. Just up here in Michigan. Hanging out. Nice weather.
It's beautiful out here, man. It's the some of the nicest it's been in a long time. I'm so happy to have a sunny race weekend. Last year, the Xfinity race was rain shortened. Cup race was rain shortened. It was not fun in June, so I will take this. So, Justin, you know, each week I talk with all three series if they're running. And one of the things I do at the end of each race is talk about some notable finishers for the race. And you are constantly brought up on the Lap Traffic Podcast with the likes of Briscoe and Gregson. And you guys, as rookies in the Xfinity Series, have racked up a slew of top 10 finishes, which I think is remarkable to be able to go out there at the likes when Kyle Busch is running. You got Xfinity regulars like Cole Custer, Tyler Riddick, Justin Allgaier out there. Talk about this first half of the 2019 Xfinity Series for you guys.
Well, we've just been consistent, and I think that contributes to a lot of our success this year. I mean, I feel like I've always been a pretty consistent driver, and you know, we may not be the fastest all the time, but sometimes we do show speed, and at the end of the day, we have consistent speed. So it's always nice to go to the track and know that you're going to be in the mix, at least for a little part of the race, and, right. And I feel like that's why... why you've been so good so this year and so many top tens. You know, you can't control a lot of things that happen in the race, like at Pocono. You know, there's a few green white checkers to end the race, and you can go forward or backward. You know, you just don't know. So we ran well all day, ran consistent, and you know, consistency usually brings in the championship realm of things a pretty good year.
Absolutely. Talk about your day this past weekend at Pocono. We saw a lot of different strategy come into play early. When that first yellow came out early in stage one, the chess match really started there. How did you guys adapt to all the strategy play out there?
Yeah, the thing we've been lacking all year is stage points, and it's put us behind in the championship race. So we can always get a good finish, but we can't seem to get too many stage points throughout the race. You know, we either our car's handling ill at the beginning or middle of the race, and then we get it worked out towards the end of the race is usually what's been happening. So Pocono, we were in a point where we could get good stage points, so we took advantage of that and got ourselves a little behind for the finish of the race. But overall, it was an excellent points day, which is what we need. Another top 10 finish, beat our teammate Austin Dillon, which is always good to beat a teammate. So it was a solid day, but you know what we're looking at right now is just, like I said, points, stage points. It's what's put us behind. So if we can go out there and run well in stages, it's what's going to put us back ahead.
You know, I think one of the things that a lot of people kind of forget, you know, everyone talks about the stage win and the playoff point, but I think sometimes people lose sight of the 9 points, the 8 points, the 7 points. And if you do that twice, and even if you finish, say, 10th or 15th, you have potential to make up more ground with that type of a day than if you're nowhere to be found in stages one and two and get a top five finish, you know. Yep. And that's, you know, when you're playing a points game and, you know, don't have the win yet and you need the points to make the top 12, those play a factor.
Yeah, and I'll just bring 2 weeks in a row. Like, we go to Charlotte, had a qualifying issue, started the back, got no stage points in the first stage. Had a tire issue at the end of the first stage, and we fought our way back up, finished like 14th in the second stage, but we finished fifth, but it was a terrible points day.
Right.
Even though it was our best finish season.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
And then we go to Pocono, Brandon Jones, the guy who's right behind us in the playoff spectrum of everything, spins out on like lap four, destroys his car. So we take advantage of the stage points. We got excellent stage points, top 10 finish. It was great points day for us, and we extended a huge cushion, even past Ryan Sieg in the points race of things.
Yeah, no, that's, you got to take advantage when the opportunity presents itself. That's for sure. So if my research is correct, you've run MIS twice. That was with the Truck Series, and go figure, wrapped up a couple top tens in that too. So are you a little nervous to get into the car for the first time going around here at MIS, or is the experience from the Truck Series here enough to get you through the first couple laps here in practice?
Well, I have no idea. I've been telling everyone all morning, Michigan's one of those tracks that I just forget. Like, I race and I forget. I don't know why, but I just can't seem to ever remember anything about this racetrack till I get here again. So I've been watching plenty of film from 2017, because 2018 was a different rules package.
Sure, yep.
But same at Pocono last week. We didn't have the year before, so we had to go to 2017's rule package. So I think we'll be pretty good today. Our big track program's been good over at College Racing. We're going to be hitting right around 204 going into turn one based off of 2017. If you're good, you'll be wide open for a little bit, then you'll start lifting. But the track's worn a little bit, so no one really knows what to expect. But I love the Xfinity cars. They're the most fun cars I've raced. A lot better than the trucks. The trucks, you know, I like watching the truck races now because they're so wild. I hated being in them because you're literally nine wide for the whole race, and there's so many, you know, 16-year-old kids, you know, rushing around you. So it gets difficult, but I don't even know I finished 10th twice.
See?
In the trucks. If you would have asked me, I would have been like, yeah, I probably ran like 14th or something.
So it's funny you say that about, you know, like, it seems like Michigan slips some minds of people, because Tyler Riddick was in here earlier, and he had a couple top 10s. He's like, did I?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
I don't know what it is about this track, man, but like, I have no idea.
So it's funny you mentioned the Truck Series. So I am a diehard Truck Series fan. I love the Truck Series.
I mean, who isn't?
Right? So, you know, not everyone's an NASCAR fan, right? But, you know, my friends enough, and I've been doing this long enough now with the podcast, and it's a fan-based podcast. So when I'm trying to get a new fan of the sport, I'm not sitting them down on Sunday.
No.
I'm sitting them down on Friday night, and they come over, have a couple drinks, and we watch truck race. Yep. And you know what? I've gotten a lot of people to buy in, and then I'll show them the Sunday race. But, man, the trucks are
– There's nothing better than a truck race on a Friday night. Under the lights, I love night races. Most of the time, they are night races.
Yep.
They're short, sweet, to the point, and they're intense.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's literally nothing better than a truck race.
No, that's right. All right, so we're coming up to MIS. You're excited to go get in the car here. MIS is big from a manufacturer perspective. So what's the team's mentality when MIS is coming up in a couple weeks as far as extra preparation and all that to show off for the manufacturers?
Well, you always want to prepare for each week. I think the biggest thing that has led to our preparation for this race, and it's backed up the whole year, is back to our consistent finishes. We've been so consistent, and we haven't been wrecking race cars. We haven't came away on the hook once this year, except my cup race at Talladega, which was a different team. So,
yeah.
We've been able to turn around cars quicker and get them prepared and back race ready after race. So that has helped us overall get more prepared, especially for this race. And coming off of Pocono last weekend, it was a bigger style racetrack, and we've done a lot of sim work at Chevy this week, getting ready for this race. So obviously it's always important, but I don't think any week's more important than the next week.
Fair enough. Justin, tell everyone where they can follow you at on social media.
Oh, just Justin Haley. Just type my name in.
Simple enough.
Unfortunately, I'll come up.
All right, Lap Traffic Nation, big thanks to Justin Haley, driver, the number 11. Justin, thanks so much, and good luck tomorrow.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you.
Well, Lap Traffic, that was a lot of fun with Justin Haley. It has been an Xfinity-filled, with the exception of Matt Tiff, but got one more cup driver who's also no stranger to the Lap Traffic podcast, Landon Castle. along with Essex Racing and Napoleon Chief Pittman. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, this is take two of this part. This one's going to be a lot of fun. Joining me here in the media center is Police Chief Dwayne Pittman from the Napoleon Township Police Department. David Ducharme. No, I still
Ducharme.
Got it wrong.
Ducharme. Ducharme.
I still got it wrong again on take two. And making his third appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast, driver of the 00 Superior Essex with Starcom Racing, Landon Castle. Chief, welcome.
Nice to see you.
David, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And Landon, welcome back, man.
Thank you very much.
All right. So a driver, a sponsor, and a police chief walk into a bar.
tomorrow night at 5 o'clock, actually, in Napoleon.
So this is very cool. First time a driver, sponsor, and on the show for the first time, a police chief. This is really cool. Lap Traffic Nation, you might be wondering what the tie is between Landon, his sponsor, Superior Essex, and Police Chief Pittman, and what they all have in common. David, why don't you start this thing out for everyone? Tell everyone a little bit about yourself, Superior Essex, and your partnership with Landon Castle.
Sure. So Superior Essex, we're a global leading manufacturer of copper and fiber communication cable. Headquartered in Atlanta, Georgia. We've been in racing now for about 3 years. We use it strictly as a B2B platform. It's worked out really well for us. I was introduced in the garage to Starcom Racing, Matt and Mike Kohler, who also own Starcom Fiber. So that was just
so there's a business connection.
There's a small business connection in there as they install fiber in and around New York City, and I happen to manufacture and sell fiber. So it was just a perfect fit for us, and you know, we love Landon representing us, and you know, that's how the Superior Essex Landon Castle relationship
came. Chief, to you, sir, first off, thank you for the service that you do to your community. It is a selfless job, and it far too often goes unthanked, in my opinion. So thank you very much for that.
I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Tell everyone a little bit about yourself, how long you've been serving the community, and all that good stuff.
I've been in law enforcement for 36 years.
Oh, that's awesome.
I retired from the Jackson County Sheriff's Department. I had actually started in Napoleon, went right after I got out of school and got out of the academy. And then after 25 years with the Sheriff's Department, I went back part-time in Napoleon, worked as the prosecutor's office doing cold case homicides for a few years. And then when the chief retired, I actually got the chief's job and been there for 3 years, and best job I ever had.
That's awesome. Congratulations. That's very cool. Landon, as a NASCAR driver, you get the opportunity to represent a lot of different sponsors throughout your career and through different series and all that. I assume every once in a while you get a little personal attachment. Talk about, as a driver, what it's like not to maybe necessarily just represent a big corporation and an opportunity like this.
Well, I mean, it's every, there's a lot of unique experiences as a race car driver, and obviously working with David, he's given me a lot of opportunities because they bring different companies out to the racetrack that they're doing business with, and it's not always the same message. You know, we're not just trying to sell a product, we're trying to tie people together and relationships together. And for this specific instance, it's kind of special because supporting law enforcement to me is something that is extremely important, and especially over the past couple of years, it's important for people to show their support to law enforcement. But it's unique that I actually have a chance to specifically show support to a local community and a local law enforcement group of team members that are trying to keep their community safe with the best tools possible. So that's why we're raising money for body cameras. So it's even more specific and more important than just the blanket, you know, I support my local police, or I support police in general. This is a specific example.
Absolutely. That's awesome. David, tell everyone a little bit about the GoFundMe, where people can find it at, and how's that's been going?
Sure. Well, it's going really well. I looked right before I came in. I think we're at somewhere around $8,000, but we've got, there's several aces up our sleeve. So we feel pretty comfortable that we're going to hit it. I'm sorry. I'm gonna send you out the link afterwards. I don't know it specifically, but if you Google GoFundMe Napoleon Township Police, it'll be there and give you an opportunity to donate some funds. So
you tweet it to me, and I will definitely retweet that out to all that. And I also If we have some time here, we'd love to come out to the car and take a picture of the back with everybody if we all got a minute afterwards to break fourth wall and just ask things like that right while on the show. Chief, so you were at Daytona. I assume being so close to MIS, this isn't your first time here, but what's this weekend's experience been like so far for you?
Oh, it's been awesome. My cousin Kurt is good friends with Dave, and I went to Daytona with them and got a chance to meet Landon and the whole StarCom team and Dave. And I've been a racing fan. I've been coming to Michigan for about 50 years.
That's awesome.
Since I was little. So I got to see Derek Cope race when I was younger, when he was racing here. And then I got to meet him along with Landon and the rest of them. And it's just been, it's really kind of awe-inspiring to see the outpouring of support that they've given to us. As a small police department, it's been kind of crazy, but absolutely terrific.
That's awesome. Chief, I got one more for you. Talk a little bit about the struggle in terms of, you said you've been doing this 36 years, motivating your police officers in a society that sometimes is a little maybe too entitled, and how do you encourage everyone to get up in the morning and serve their community?
Well, like Landon said, it's probably more important now than any time in more recent history. For the most part, Napoleon's a smaller community, and a lot of our guys are retired from other agencies, larger agencies, so they come out to Napoleon, and it's a smaller farming community. We have some folks that like to run afoul of the law and are very entitled on occasion, but for the most part, our folks are pretty good people. We handle whatever comes up. Occasionally it's big, but we're pretty fortunate. And the guys, because of the community, and we have a strong team concept rather than just an agency, so they take a great deal of pride in showing the people what we're there for, try to help as much as we can. So I'm really fortunate to have talented people in a small community that supports the department. So I've got it really, really well.
That's awesome. Landon, this is going to be your 18th start here at MIS. Talk a little bit about what sets MIS apart from some of the other tracks on the circuit and what you're looking forward to here this weekend.
I mean, the most obvious answer to that is just the size of the racetrack. It's so big and wide and fast, and with this new aero package, we anticipate a lot of on-throttle time. We brought a car that we would typically have at a Talladega or a Daytona. In fact, it might be the car that I take to Daytona after this. I'm excited about this week because I think that can provide some good speed for us. But if we focus on the race setup, get it driving well . This package, seems like you can have two completely different cars. You can have a car that's really fast in Q trim, or a car that is good in race trim, and so we're still trying to find the balance of having both of those. But Michigan's where I made my first Cup Series start. I've had some really good experiences here. I've qualified in the top 10. I've finished in the top 15 here. I've always found my way around this track really well.
That's awesome. I had a couple of the Xfinity guys in here earlier, and they talked about the potential of a third lane. Do you think we might see that with the Cup?
I'm not sure. I think that you will see that in the Cup cars. I know that they've worked on the track a little bit with the Tire Dragon. I don't think that there was any traction compound put down, though. I really think that traction compound is a magical tool right now that these tracks should be considering more often, and I definitely applaud Marcus Smith and his team at SMI for taking that initiative at their racetracks. I think that for the Cup race, you'll definitely see some 2-3 wide racing. I mean, obviously on restarts, it's going to be 5-6 wide,
right?
Because we're just
gonna
crazy
do that.
And we go all over the place. but it was pretty impressive just at a place like Pocono to see how people would hold 3 wide through the corner or 2 wide through the corner pretty easily. So there's a lot of downforce on these cars. We'll definitely be running side by side.
That's awesome. Lap Traffic Nation, make sure you follow Landon Castle at Landon Castle. Make sure you follow Superior Essex at SPX Racing. Make sure you go follow and support the GoFundMe for Chief Pittman that I'll get tweeted out here in a little bit. Guys, thank you so much for stopping by this weekend. Landon, good luck this weekend. Chief, good luck. David, good luck with the GoFundMe and all that stuff. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, so I lied. David is back for one quick shout-out. Go ahead there, man.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate the opportunity. Anybody in the area tomorrow night in and around Michigan Speedway, we are going to be at Aggie's Sports Bar and Grill in Napoleon with the chief and a lot of his department. One last push, try to hit our goal. Landon Castle will be there signing autographs. I've got a lot of swag, a lot of cool giveaways. So if you're here and you're a race fan, come on down. Maybe get a free ticket to Sunday, an autograph by Landon, and maybe another really cool prize. That's all I'll say about that.
Awesome. All right, so go check that out, Lap Traffic Nation. And thanks again, guys, for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you for the time.
Lap Traffic Nation, better late than never.
What?
The boys from the PETM podcast have arrived. Rusty Sheridan are in the house, and Chloe has stepped up to a mic. What's going on, guys?
Well, Rusty got me up this morning, so I didn't miss my flight. Well, so that helped out pretty good.
Well, he still tried. He put paraphernalia in his suitcase, evidently, and they tore it apart right as
well. Oh, we definitely got there a little bit late, and I picked the wrong line, and apparently I have a hotel giveaway corkscrew
that's going to take
in my ditty bag, and they were concerned.
Oh, wow.
That's right. We're going to take down an A321 with this corkscrew.
Wow.
Boys and girls.
But then they tore my suitcase apart and then gave it back to me.
Okay. Wow.
Nice. Have a nice day.
Have a nice day. Here you go. Well, welcome, Sherwin, welcome back to MIS. Rusty, welcome to MIS.
Thank you, sir. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's big. It's big.
It's big. The media center, that's the coolest thing I've seen maybe at a, I don't know, I shouldn't say the coolest thing at a track ever, but it's unique to hear, I'll say, is just outside the media center, among the glass, y'all, is pit road. So cars are just flying up and down, and you're going, wow, that's pretty darn
just
cool.
Just eating some lunch, watching race cars.
Yeah.
Fast cars going loud. They pull in and out of the pits right there by where we sit and eat
lunch.
Yeah,
there's no windows. Really nice. Well, so if you go over to the writer's room, there's no windows there, but in the cafeteria and the lobby, there's windows. We don't have that at Atlanta.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, and speaking of writer's room, we got our own reserved individual spots. Lap Traffic, Rusty. Lap Traffic, Andrew Sherwin. Like, yeah, we got our own spots if we wanted to pretend like we wanted to write.
I can't go.
So I should have brought my laptop, is what you're saying, and just goofed off on Twitter the whole time.
I usually just go sit in Jeff Gluck's spot till he, comes in. And
yeah, I don't. I have yet to see Jeff. I wonder if he's down in Texas, maybe with the trucks. I have not seen him here yet.
I know Weaver is in Texas.
Okay.
Okay.
But I think he's already slated to do the whole IndyCar series.
Yes. Yeah. I saw Dustin Long a little bit ago. Chris Knight's here. Bob Pockris, obviously.
I hadn't seen Bob. I saw Chris. Might have saw Dustin. That's cool.
I don't know. I haven't been over there yet.
Yes.
Chloe hadn't talked yet.
Chloe, what's up, girl?
Do you have a voice?
I don't know, man.
Chloe, the defending lap traffic champion, is going to make some picks.
Yeah.
Tell us about this
like
really
20th
cool
right now.
Media promotion stuff you're doing.
I don't know what it is exactly. I was just told I was doing it, so I was like, all right, sweet, I'm doing it.
So you'll have to report back later.
Are you recording this for your vlog?
Of course I'm recording this for my vlog.
Well done. Yes,
well, you should get my not fat side. That's the one where I'm standing outside.
Chloe, what have you thought of the MIS bonus show? You've been here the whole time. So what?
I always enjoy it. It's always super fun.
It is fun.
Super nice guys coming in.
Yes.
Love it.
It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Let's see. What else we got?
Racing.
We got
beer.
Racing coming on.
Are we at a racetrack or
something like that?
Yeah.
We're
going to have to go make a run for
yes,
for you
we
guys.
Are.
Yes. Before the ARCA race.
That's a smart idea.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah.
The accommodations are incredible. So me and Sherwin have, like, our own bunk bed room, like we're back in, I don't know, Boy Scout days or something. But we're it's air-conditioned.
It's air-conditioned. And we had a lovely host for a couple hours. Thank you, Andrea.
And thank you, Brad, for the beers. Of course, we had a couple
we
cold
did.
Pops before we got in here.
Absolutely.
A couple of Brad's beers.
I'd be lying if I wasn't saying I wasn't thirsty right now.
Yeah.
So.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly.
We're saying you're driving to the store.
Right, that's right. Yes, yes. Yeah, that's why I'm saying we need to go before the
ARCA
race.
As soon as we're done recording this, it's time to start misbehaving, I think.
Yeah, that's right here. This is a cool room, dude. So they just kind of give this to you.
They give
you've
me
got your name on it and everything and names of drivers and stuff.
Yes.
Man, that's cool.
Well, I do this myself. myself.
Okay.
But I that slot's there. But my name is on the outside schedule there, which is pretty cool.
So you're saying Cole Custer farted in this exact seat that I'm in right now?
It's a good possibility.
That's pretty cool. I'm taking this chair home.
Actually, Justin Haley was bouncing in this thing. He was entertained. After the interview, he literally flipped the thing upside down to see where this chair was from. It's like, it's from Kohl's. I might go get me one of these chairs.
I'm sure if he asked for one, they'd probably give it to him.
Yeah,
Small as Rico Abreu as he looks?
Close.
He's shorter than me, taller than Lindsay.
Yeah, well, anybody's taller than Lindsay, so that does not take much. Lindsay's in the background. Lindsay's got my phone. Lord knows what she's doing with my phone
taking pictures of the ugly back of my head, among other things.
We got a little bit of Tennessee waterfall going on in the back today.
Yeah. Working on it a little bit.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
What do you say we make some picks here and wrap this thing out here? So
we made picks on our show this week, and then me and Sherwin looked at each other when we walked in here, and we went, I don't remember who I picked. We've been drinking that whole time.
Yeah, it was.
Ain't no telling.
That's kind of how it goes on the PETM podcast.
I've been there a time or two. I know.
I've also forgotten who you've picked on the PETM.
That's true.
It's a little rowdy at times.
That'll be our next T-shirt. I forgot who I picked on PETM podcast.
Man, we keep coming up with some T-shirt ideas. Hashtag right? nerd neck.
We
should start writing these down.
Needs to get made.
We can figure something out for that.
You could put that in your store.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I could make it and do it very easy for you guys. So we should have a chat.
It's got to have a deer's head on it and a calculator.
You get whatever logo I can get available.
Like a smashed beer can.
Yeah, yeah, perfect.
And a race car upside down or something like that.
That might get a little bit busy, but
we'll figure it out. We're spitballing here.
Maybe hashtag nerdnet goes on the back like a name.
Right, like a name thing. Yes, you need to get the Twitter handle at nerdnet. Which you should probably do now since I just said this. That's available.
How have I not already done that? I think I ran out of email addresses is the problem. Because I've already got four. I have five.
Five? Yeah. I think you should probably do that when I'm posting.
That is a good call. Or maybe I'll just change Daryl Sweetwater III to hashtag redneck.
Or nerdneck. That's awesome. All right, let's make some picks. Now, you guys only got your cup picks, which is cool, but Chloe and I got a couple extra we got to make. So we'll start with Chloe.
Well, I can pick trucks.
You want to pick some? You guys want to do a couple
there's
trucks?
There's only one person I'm picking for trucks,
so
who cares?
All right, so we'll pick all four. Chloe, defending lap traffic champion.
Stop saying that. It's not happening again.
I say defending because you're not the current leader.
I'm in 20th. I haven't even looked. Listen.
Chloe, who you got for the trucks this weekend?
I have Kyle Larson. He is always my go-to for Michigan.
For trucks.
For trucks?
For trucks.
Did you say cup?
No.
Wait.
Did I say
cup first?
I might have. I meant trucks.
I got all excited for a second. I'm like, Larson's going to run trucks at Texas.
Let's go trucks.
Okay. I'm not picking trucks for Larson.
When lap traffic and PETM cross-pollinate, right, this is what you end up with.
Get up with an issue.
Why am I the one to take the fire? Now I sound like an idiot.
No, it was me, apparently. Who you got?
For trucks.
Trucks.
Johnny Sauter.
All right. Sherwin?
Ross Chastain.
The number 69, whether he's running or not. The Biffle Missile, man.
Oh, Greg Biffle.
Fastest KBM truck yesterday.
There were some takers on that in the lap traffic fantasy. I am going with Mr. Stuart Friesen.
He is overdue.
He is also the highest salary driver on DraftKings, which has got to say something there.
Interesting.
Too. So
he's super consistent, and I think DraftKings rewards that.
It does reward that. Yes, it does. Let's go Xfinity. Chloe, who you got?
Tyler Reddick. All right.
Sherwin.
Oh, why did you ask? You know what? I'll take your guest.
Who you got?
Haley.
Justin Haley?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. I was going to take Cole Custer. All right, there you have it.
Yeah. Perfect. Well, I also have Cole Custer, so that's...
Oh, y'all doubled up again. We double up quite a bit.
You know what? On our show, if you pick somebody, I can't pick them. Yes. But here we are on this.
Yeah, because chicks dig dudes with money. Right? At least the kind that would double up on any of us.
And for the cup now, Chloe, who you got?
Well, Kyle Larson.
All right, he's due. He is too. Jeff Striegel and I talked a lot about Kyle Larson.
He's
on Tuesday.
So good at Michigan.
Yeah. Well, he needs it.
Okay.
Needs
out two. Of like it's
three wins, right?
Three
of
wins.
His five.
Three in a row.
And I was at all of them.
Boom.
So.
There you go. There you go. Sherwin?
Well, I went super homer this week and I picked Chase Elliott like I do about, I don't know, three out of every 4 weeks.
Fair enough. Rusty?
I need to count those up because I did write him down this time. But
and when I don't pick Chase, he does.
And
so
I should have
like,
done, yeah, I should have done it in a spreadsheet instead of having
to go back
and notes
Chase for like
time.
11 of 13 so, races.
Nice. I'm pretty sure. Hey, you were, we
and
were
you
right.
You hit
once.
On one. You hit one.
Right. A busted clock.
We were there.
Busted clock right twice a day. That's the deal. We couldn't figure out who in the world I picked while just sitting here trying to think. So I'm going to say Joey Logano.
I'm going to say you either picked Joey or Brad,
yeah,
I think.
I wouldn't have picked Brad.
Yeah, you don't like Brad.
All right.
That's fine.
And
I was trying to bait you into that.
Yeah, no.
like Sherwin, I'm homering it out since we're at MIS and having a little fun. So Kevin Harvick, for the win. So
for
those,
the win.
Those are the
you know what? There's a camper right near us that's got a...
I saw that.
Yeah. We also heard about the Michigan flag.
All right. So I got to tell that story real quick. So we get to the campsite last night, and Lindsay and I beat Brad and Andrea and Chloe there by about a half an hour. So you probably saw the picture tweeted out of Lindsay sitting in an empty site
sure
enjoying
did.
A beverage.
Sure did.
And so, you know, Brad, they all get there and everybody's setting up. Lindsay and Andrea are stocking the kitchen and all that kind of stuff. And Brad's doing what he's got to do to the fifth wheel and all that. And I'm out there popping up the pop-up tent and hanging up the flags around the thing to create some shade for the coolers so that they can
exactly.
rest in there.
It's fully functional.
It is, yes, that the flags serve a purpose. But anyway, so I'm putting up the flags. And as you guys all heard earlier with the Matt Tift and my bet that I lost having to wear an Ohio State shirt, Brad also Oof. Is an Ohio State fan. And so I had a Michigan flag facing out. Put it up, didn't say anything when I put it up there, and I was just waiting to see how long it took Brad Yunker to notice that I had a Michigan flag hanging at his campsite.
Well, we did, so we talked about that with Andrea and Brad. Also, we noticed that you did hang your AMS, so shout
Absolutely.
Out to Mandy Smith.
Yes.
And Rusty's got a pretty funny little anecdotal story in regards to changing flags up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We were out at the lake last year. I think it was last year. Our next-door neighbors. So everybody at the lake in this little cove that's right there, everybody's got their flagpoles up. Well, of course, we're Georgia Tech fans, all of us. They were flying a Georgia flag. Now, this is in Alabama, like deep in actually Auburn country over there. And because this is
Lake Norman.
Lake Martin.
Or Martin,
yep,
yeah.
Right outside of Opelika, Tiger Town.
Yeah, buddy.
And, yeah, so they were hanging a Georgia flag. And so we ninja night missioned over there and took down their Georgia flag and put up Georgia Tech flag and said, how long is this going to take them to figure this thing out? Now, they got up in the morning. We're sitting in the lake. Like, we're in the lake on our noodles and floats and whatnot. And they're, hey, how are y'all? We're like, we're good. We're pretty good. And they're like, all right, well, we're going to go out on our boat. We're like, okay, see y'all later. And they left.
Wow.
And they come back, and as they're coming back, they're like, oh, you don't. Y'all put that thing up. And we said, no, man, that's been up for 14 hours.
Yeah, you missed it.
Yeah. Oh, well. So
it's we have a new neighbor that moved in across the street from us that's a Spartan fan. And, you know, just to extend.
So you burned her house down.
Well, not exactly. No,
oh, okay.
No.
Not quite.
So, you know, she moves in.
Well,
this weekend.
Story sucks.
Right.
Then.
No offense, Andrea.
So,
I know,
so,
poor Andrea.
Lindsay gets some Michigan cupcakes and a welcome card and all that kind of stuff. Takes it over, right? Well, she wasn't home, but her dad was there. And her dad was like, oh, my gosh, this is so cool, so nice. You know, love the camaraderie. This is going to be awesome. We heard so much about this neighborhood. She'll be over to say thank you. That was over a year ago. Girl has not said more than two words or even acknowledged our existence. First thing she did after she moved in was she put up a flagpole, and there, sure enough, is a, you know, Spartan flag. You know, and I rotate my flags that I have based on race weekend, so the Michigan flag does not hang too often. But, so now it's game on. It's game on.
Yeah.
So, and I'm going to strike first come football season, and I am getting I found it's $110. It's going to be the best $110 I invest in. It is a 7-foot-tall blow-up Michigan Wolverine that's going to sit on my front lawn, and I am waiting to see how she's going to respond to a 7-foot blow-up on a Saturday afternoon on the front lawn. So that is happening for sure.
That's well, turning right around.
We didn't know we were going to get into blow-up dolls around here, but that'll be what it may.
And with that, Lab Traffic Nation. all right, boys.
Wow, okay.
Let's get your beer. Chloe, yes. Let's close this out. I got to get this thing posted to 4 or 5 sites and do a little social media stuff here. So I'd say an hour and 20-minute bonus show is really good. Everyone, Chloe, where can everyone follow you
on
social
media? Are you
running
Windows
95? I
do not know. Look at the start button. It's like,
did my cloud just get interrupted?
Golly. That is a funny story, but I'm not going to bore everybody with that. I will tell you that off here.
Nerd neck.
Chloe, where can everybody follow you on social media?
You can follow me on Twitter at Chloe Younger with a K.
Chloe
and
with a K.
Instagram, it's Bear Youngs.
Excellent. Sherwin?
I'm at Pregame Engineer on my personal, the Daryl Sweetwater III character. But most time I'm just pissing people off on PETM podcast.
Fair enough.
Right on.
Rusty?
At Tailgate Mayor.
Excellent. And I am at Lap Traffic PC. Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 131 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you follow on the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Subscribe, download, check out the show. Review the show. Review it. Give it a comment on iTunes,
one
Podbean.
Big. You know, the one stars are by far the most fun. Right.
Huge thanks to Michigan International Speedway and everything that they do. Could not do this without them. Also, huge props to the Orange Cone, Tyler Reddick, Cole Custer, Matt Tift, Justin Haley, Essex Racing, Landon Castle, and Chief Pittman, all for coming on the show today. Don't forget to tune in next week. Jeff and the PETM podcast, right. And Chloe Ucker.
We got
see what happens.
Bottom billing.
See what happens when you read off a sheet there. Don't forget, next Tuesday, Jeff Striegel is going to be back to recap MIS, and Chicago track president Scott Paddock is going to be on. It's time to go have some drinks, watch some racing. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!